Most of us have heard the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words won't ever hurt me. This saying is a lie. The Bible says that this saying is not true. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, and I'm not going to read that, but I will tell you what it says, the text tells us that there are some words that are so painful, so hurtful, it is as if someone is stuck by a sword. And the writer was exactly right. Instead of saying sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, the saying that is all too famous should be revised to say this. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can wound forever. We've just had an election, and there have been a number of instances, a number of examples where we saw cases where words mattered. When people allege that a politician was a big spender, a liberal, someone who wants to send our children off to war, those words have an impact. Sometimes a single word can leave us with a flood of emotions. The word dentist probably means something to at least a few of us, makes us think about a lot of things. Amputated, again, a single word, but it brings up a lot of images. If we think about our ability to communicate through speech, we find that our words generally fall into one of two categories. Words either serve as weapons or they serve as tools. Most of us have seen examples of cases where weapons or words serve as weapons. Words are sometimes used to embarrass and humiliate others. Words are sometimes used to belittle, taunt, and defeat people. There are times when people use words to frighten, control, and try to force people to do things. Words are one of the most powerful tools that we have in the world. They can be used to entrap, mislead, deceive, and discourage people. Sometimes they're used to undermine people and their ideas. It's through speech sometimes that people are turned to or turned against someone. People can be attacked by words. It is also possible for speech to be used as a tool. It's a tool when we communicate with people. We can inform people and share ideas by speech. We can transmit knowledge. We can explain and illustrate truth. Speech gives us an excellent way to instruct others. Our ability to speak is one way that we can encourage people. Speech is a means of persuading others to do what's right. And because speech is such a powerful force, the Bible has some things to say about it. James 3 was read for the scripture reading. The power of speech is seen in what he said there. If we can control our tongue, we can control the entire body. And that's an illustration of how powerful speech is. The bulk of our material, though, is going to be pulled from the book of Proverbs this morning. This is why in the announcements it was asked that you keep the book handy. We're going to start with Proverbs 18. Most of the passages are somewhere towards the middle of this book. The first passage that we want is Proverbs 18, verse 21. We cite this passage because the writer said that speech provides the power of life and death. Towards the end of the 18th chapter, here's what he says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Our speech can be a tool or it can be a weapon. Some have compared it to a knife, and that is an accurate metaphor for it. In the hands of a skilled surgeon, it can be something that is productive and useful. In the hands of someone who is careless, it can do incalculable harm. And this point has been in the Bible for a long time. Just prior to Proverbs 18:21, we have another passage which is instructive. This is Proverbs 16, verse 24, turning back just a bit. And I want to read this passage as well. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There are some people who use speech in this way. There are some people who use speech to help and bless and encourage people. But we also know that there are those who use speech in a way that's destructive. Whether it's during a hospital visit, while in someone's home or at work, some use speech in a way that is cruel and hurtful. And this destructive nature of speech is described in a very graphic way in Proverbs 25:20. If you only turn to one passage today, I would encourage you to make it this one. This is a verse that should be memorized by each person who is concerned about living in the way that God wants. I cite this reference because winter is coming upon us. It may not look like it quite yet, but we are close to it, we think. And this passage is best understood by appealing to winter. This is a good time to talk about this verse. Suppose a little later this year that we have a day when the temperature is well below zero. And in preparation to go to some public place, we take out our heaviest coat. We go to the place where we need to be, the public place, we remove our coat. We do what needs to be done, and then we prepare to leave. But when we go to the coat rack, we find everybody's gone, and we find that somebody has stolen our coat.
It is well below zero, and there is not a garment for us to put on. We cannot call anybody, so we need to go out into the sub-zero temperatures without any protection. If you can imagine that, then you have in your head the picture that's found in Proverbs 25:20. As one that taketh off a garment in the cold weather, and as vinegar upon soda, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Who would be so low as to steal a person's coat in the winter? That kind of act is unthinkable. And yet the writer says in Proverbs 20 that this is essentially the same as someone who is careless in their speech. His illustration involves a person who is of a heavy heart. The person who perhaps has experienced some kind of terrible or horrible loss. You know, his world has just been shattered. And here is a person who comes in and says, "Let's have a party. Let's sing. Let's have a positive time together." And the man says, "Oh no, not me." Notice, if you will, in the experience that this man did not say foul words. He did not take the Lord's name in vain. He was simply careless in speech. He said the wrong thing at the wrong time. He said the wrong thing in the wrong way. And the carelessness in the man's speech is so bad, it is compared to taking a person's coat on a day when it is especially cold. This proverb should remind us about the importance of our speech in everyday life. For the most part, I believe that God's people are concerned about the kind of communication that comes out of their mouths. Members of the church, as far as I can tell, try to avoid the kind of cursing that is found in the world. Swearing is one of the things that's not typically found among God's people, at least not on a regular basis. And this is good and right. And yet, when we think about speech from the biblical perspective, we find that this is not the only thing that God is concerned about. There are other things. You may remember in Colossians 4, verse 6, Paul said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." There's an illustration floating around. It's in different places on the net, and this past week was the first time I saw it. Maybe you've seen it before. But it's a story about a young man who was a problem child in school. He was always going to see the principal. Another day came, and once again the teacher took him to the school office, and as the young man was sitting before the principal said, "You've been in the office before, right?" And the young fellow said, "Oh yes, you know that, several times." And the principal said to the young man, he said, "Have you been punished for each previous offense?" And the young man said, "Oh yes, I have, and I'm ready to be beaten again. Dish it out. Whatever kind of punishment you want to inflict, I'm ready to take it." The principal asked why the young man had been brought down to the office on this occasion, and he said that he was there for fighting. There was a young fellow who had looked at him in the wrong way, and he took Tommy's head and stuffed it into the sandbox. The principal said, "Well, why'd you do that?" He said, "I just didn't like the way he looked at me." And the child then said to the principal, "If I thought I could do it, I would shove your face into something." The principal then said to the young man, "I'm going to teach you a new word, grace." The principal tried to explain grace to the young fellow, but the boy just glared at him. And finally, the young fellow said, after the principal had said several things about grace, "You're just going to let me go? No spanking today?" The principal said that the boy was not going to be punished, but he did say, "When people do things that are wrong, there are some consequences." And the boy said, "Oh yeah, I knew it. There has to be a catch." So he held out his hands, waiting for the slap. The principal told the teacher to get the paddle, and the teacher did that, and once it was handed to the principal handed it back to the teacher. And then he turned to the child and said to the young man, "I want you to count the blows." The young man, who had his hands out, they were closed and pushed away by the principal. And then this man stretched out his own hands. And he said to the teacher, who was in the room, "Begin." Wow. And after that first whack, the hands of the principal were struck a second time. And then they were hit a third time, and a fourth time. This is an illustration that is designed to illustrate grace, love, and the atonement. But is it not also an illustration that is related to speech? Most of us, I think, can imagine that as that young man was brought down into the principal's office, all like on previous occasions, he could have screamed at him. He could have yelled at him. He could have heaped verbal abuse upon the child. He could have selected the right words to inflict guilt and shame. And certainly there are times when guilt and shame are inappropriate, perhaps even threats. And yet, on this occasion, the principal spoke words of grace. Instead of, as we cited from the first proverb, using words that wound like a sword, and there are some words that are like that, he was kind. He spoke with grace, Colossians 4:6. His words were backed up by his deeds. And this story, whether true or not, I don't know. ends up with the boy sobbing in remorse. When we look at the life of Jesus, we find that he used great care when speaking with people. Sometimes Jesus had some negative things to say. There were some cases where he had no choice. But we also find as we deal with Jesus and we look at his life that he spoke words of grace seasoned with salt every time he possibly could. He never was the kind of person who tried to take a person's coat in the middle of winter. That illustration in Proverbs 25 never applied to him. But he was a one who sought to be kind and full of grace every time that he spoke to people. Imagine the response of the man in Matthew 9, verse 2. Jesus said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." He encouraged the sick by saying to them, "You're healed. Rise up and walk." Jesus met people like the woman in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Other people surely would have condemned her. Probably in her life, as other people had met with her, they had said bad things to her and bad things about her in the past. After all, she was with a man she was not entitled to be with. She was a Samaritan. People could have said a lot of bad things about her. But as Jesus dealt with this woman, he had good things to say. "I want to tell you about a gift, the living water." The Lord's kindness was extended to other people in other times as well. There were occasions when people needed food. And you know what the disciples said? Oh, they didn't curse. They didn't swear. But their response to the situation was, "The crowds are too great. Send them away." Not how Jesus talked. He said, "Have them sit down." The disciples said the little children were a bother and they should be run off. That's how they spoke. Not foul words. Not swear words. But certainly words that are not consistent with what we're looking at this morning. And the words of Jesus, filled with grace, said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." We think about the people who were put to death on the cross. People who must have said some very horrible things. We find sometimes that people, as they're in pain, they say some things that they might not say under other circumstances. And surely that must have been the case. And yet when we look at Jesus again, we find grace from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Bible, and this is my last reference, in Proverbs 15:28, says that by our speech, we help determine, we help show, whether we are a child of God or whether we are a child of Satan. And here's how the writer says it. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." In other words, pays great attention to the words that are said, how someone speaks. But then he says this, "But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Ladies and gentlemen, this single verse tells us that the people of God need to be concerned about how they talk. And our concern needs to involve impure speech, foul words, swear words, curse words, but it needs to extend far beyond that. God's people need to be concerned about speaking with grace. If we're a Christian, we need to be concerned about saying the right thing at the right time and in the right way. Those who are saved want to do the very best to ensure that their words do not cut and hurt. And our illustration for that is found in Proverbs 25:20. To use the wrong words in the wrong way, that is so serious, it is like taking a person's coat when they need to go out into sub-zero weather. That's unthinkable for us. And in a similar way, that needs to be our response to saying things that are contrary to the principles that we're looking at. Far less attention is paid to what people said, and that's a serious error. I wish someone who's a Christian, someone who has been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, if that's the case, then we need to live as Proverbs 15:28 says. We need to study so we know how to answer. We need to respond to people, communicate in the best possible way so that people will see that we are a child of God. Because when our speech is right and our actions go along with it, we will truly be a light to the world. We will be like that principal who changed a life. Are you a Christian who is trying to employ the principles that have been described this morning? If not, and we can help you in your Christian walk this morning, we would like to do whatever we can to aid you, to study with you, encourage you, pray with you, support you in every way that you need to be supported. If you're someone who is not a Christian, we hope that as you think about what has been said this morning, you'll see that there is a difference between those who are saved and those who are not. A lot of differences, one of which should be speech. And for those in the world, and there are some who take great care in what they say, that is commendable. And that's part of the package. But that's not all that God requires. To be saved, God also requires that we be in Christ, because the Bible says that's where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2:10. And those who believe in Christ are on the right road, those who are willing to repent, try to live as the Bible describes, those who are willing to acknowledge Jesus as Lord are right at the doorstep. But the Bible says to actually get into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you been baptized into the Lord? And are you continuing to do your best to follow His Word? If not, this morning we stand prepared to help you in any way that we possibly can. We ask that you come as we now stand and sing.